everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. I have a new monitor. I have to reposition myself with respect to the new monitor. New camera angle. So mic sounds funny. I don't know. I've been facing technical issues for a whole week. So lots of things might be off, but we're getting there. Yeah, I bought a new monitor because this one was a good 28 inch. It was good, high resolution and all, but it started, something went bad with the power supply of it, I think. And there was a line of shadow at the top and a line of shadow at the bottom of the screen. I don't think it's something I could easily fix without having parts and everything. So I went straight to Best Buy to get it replaced immediately today. I was forced to take a slightly lower resolution because they didn't have any available true 4K. I needed it for tonight. And on top of it, I was forced to pick one of these demonic curved monitors. I can't believe I have a curved monitor. It's the G5 Samsung 27 inch QHD. Man, curved monitors. It's so weird. Now I'm getting used. My brain is getting used to it, but it's so weird. What's the gain here? I mean, if I had a monitor that's like 2 meters long, of course I would want it to curve around me because then I would have to look left and right. But for a monitor that's right in your face, why would you want it curved? I don't get it. Anyways, it seems to be working tonight. So, and there's also, and I think that speaker's corner was a mic troll because I think the mic is sounding okay. Daryl says, bro, I don't like gaming on curved monitors because it's weird if you're not perfectly centered. Yeah, it's like, it's not increasing the quality of anything. You're just curving back into space, the middle of the screen. Why is the middle of the screen? Why does it have to be further away from me than the side of the screen? I don't get it. I'm not feeling the integrative experience. I thought that Windows was handling these monitors in some special way that would create an illusion of non-curved space. But no, it's literally just a curved screen. You literally see the taskbar of Windows at the bottom. It's curved. It's not straight. Now everything is curved. My face is curved. Streamlabs OBS is curved. Why? Steven Robinson says, it's like a curved earth, fucking sucks. Oh, is that what it is? It's a war with the flat earthers. Dino Lugovic says, Jeff, things went wrong with tech right when you plugged in the Bitcoin clock. Someone mentioned this a few days ago and I agree, ditch the clock, Jeff. Certainly, I've developed suspicions because so much has gone wrong. It's never been happening before. I've developed suspicion about the block clock and its drain on power, and you know the kind of power supply issues I've experienced in the last week, and the need to change my electricity bar and the breaking of my screen. All of this seems to point to some power issue, and you know I'm in an isolated room of the home for this studio, where I plug a lot of things. There's my server right there. There's the laser printer. There's all of my audio processing. There's the TV. All of this is plugged on very few electrical lines. And so if the block clock is consuming too much power, it could explain it. But at the same time, I've plugged the block clock on an independent electrical plug now. And I was still experiencing some of the trouble with my monitor. Now, it's still not impossible that the block clock has broken the monitor initially, and now it's still broken. But for now, I've tried plugging the block clock on an independent line of electricity to see if it was the culprit. I have another hypothesis. I think I'm getting targeted by solar flare waves. I think the sun is fucking up my electromagnetism. I think that the solar flare timing, because last week when the problem started, a few days before the problem started, I saw 4 meteorites from the sky. First observation. I've seen about 2 or 3 meteorites in my whole life. And that night I saw 4 in a row. Just there was one first. It was like one. And then a little later, 3 other. And they were the brightest meteorites I've ever seen. I may have been the only one looking at them because it was at night in Canada. Maybe most people were sleeping, but I was on the road. And I was looking at this, okay, meteorites. And then there was the solar flare where they said that there was a rip inside the sun and the sun was sending us magnetic storms. And that's when everything broke. So that could be also a hypothesis. New York Times is now joining the whole Harvard's gay plagiarism scandal. They don't add much. You know, I'll say that I've initially evaluated the cases and I was not super impressed. Now they're discovering other cases that are plagiarism, where there doesn't appear to be any citation of the people she stole from. But it's still minor in the sense that they found this, for example, in her thank you note. The thank you note at the end of her dissertation. You know how you say, oh, this person is very good and he was a good counselor to me. And the phrasing that is used to describe a person has been copied from apparently another thesis that was also thanking the same person. It's not plagiarism of the main work, the main scientific contribution. It is a minor instance of plagiarism. Maybe it's an omission, you know. And she said that she would correct her thesis. So it's like when you catch someone in plagiarism and they say, oh, sorry, I'm going to fix it. That's it. But why is the New York Times going after her? Of course, it's because the New York Times is trying to go on a witch hunt of anyone who's not Zionist enough. And she has been judged not Zionist enough. Francis V says, Jeff, did you check into Electric Universe? Like I suggested so many times. Well, I checked into it, but it's... I checked into it years ago. And I'm all excited about the Electric Universe, but I need data. It's not enough. You know, these guys of the Electric Universe, they're saying, we have revolutionized physics and these people have been ignoring electromagnetism for years and we brought the attention. Okay, that's good sales tactics, all. But I need science. You need to tell me what it is that we understood with the Electric Universe that we didn't understand before. You need to show me a scientific revolution that happened because we started caring about electromagnetism. You know, we don't know much about the electromagnetic forces influencing the trajectory of galaxies and the evolution of galaxies because all we can observe really is inferences about masses. And so and gravity seems to be the dominant force. I'm open to anything electromagnetic. just bring it. I don't see anything. All I see is bragging on these Electric Universe websites. Like, stop bragging. In the revolutionary phenotype, like, I'm not saying, oh, these people have ignored the phenotypic revolution for so long. They suck. Here's how good I am. Here's my science. No, you just lay out the freaking scientific theory. And the theory of the electric universe is so globe. It's so broad. They're like, oh, we don't care enough about electromagnetism and we should care more. And basically, that's it. Well, I'm open to this. Now, show me something that goes on in a galaxy that wouldn't go on without electromagnetism and prove to me that it's electromagnetism and I'll be super happy. I'm not racist against electromagnetism. I have electron friends, okay? Stephen Robinson says, JF has not done enough navel gazing. I spend every night on the internet reminding people that they will still have to address the revolutionary phenotype. I can't believe that. I was talking about this with a longtime supporter of the show. He was frustrated because he was seeing that Lex Friedman keeps inviting these talkers of early life research and they have nothing to say. Because as long as you ignore the revolutionary phenotype, you don't understand what happened 4 billion years ago on Earth, period. The revolutionary phenotype is inevitable. This is why I've been kind of comedic in my career. And I was explaining to this guy because it's not worth being frustrated at these astroturfed stars of the early life research world, because they will all go down in history as having ignored the one theory that should have been their main concern. And I'm laughing my ass off to my tomb, knowing that the revolutionary phenotype has been ignored for so long, despite me being right here on the internet, freely watchable, you know? Freely watchable. I'm here to remind people that this theory still hasn't been addressed, and it's true. It's a correct theory. No problem. I will keep doing this all my life. Stephen Robinson says the universe is a toroidal field and we live in the plane in the middle. Maybe. End of the line. Joel says the question still has to be asked. Will the Weinsteins honor their Reed promise? We'll see. I think they might not. Now, as far as reading the New York Times article, I'm not paying for a New York Times subscription. I think that the Zionists have enough money like this. I'm not going to add on to the pile. And it doesn't look like they have original examples. It looks like they're quoting a lot of the examples that we've seen already discussed on the internet. All right, just starting my software. Let's talk about this video, which has made the rounds for a while. I've ignored this video because I was finding this girl annoying, but now everyone is commenting about this girl. So, and there's a kind of catfight between Matt Walsh and Megyn Kelly on this girl. And so we have to talk about it. It's this girl who they say her factory settings as a woman have come back. Although she seems very much trained on the LGBT propaganda, and she seems very much like this modern, open activist woman, she suddenly was... Nature came back galloping in her case, and she went for guys that she calls the bro types of guys, the guys, the guyest guys you can get. Of course. Francis V says, Jeff, I'm sure you remember your days of autistically going over PCA charts and spreadsheets of DNA. Before your YouTube days, you taught me to learn about DNA those days. Will we get Mega Otis JF to go into super deep science again? I'm totally open. But by the way, I've been dismissive of the electric universe propaganda. not because I don't want it to be true. And I've been dismissive of it back in the days when I was making those super autistic streams. So I'm open to get through anything you have to send to me. Send me studies. But no one is sending me those. Everyone is just sending me one super chat, or they're coming on the regular chat and they're saying, Electric Universe, JF. What do you think about it, JF? And it's like, okay, I'm going to research Electric Universe. Now I end up on these crappy websites that all they do is brag about how right they are, but they don't tell us, they don't make a scientific claim. What is the electromagnetic force that you're talking about that changes the game for your understanding of galaxy, and how does it work? Show me the equations. I'm here. I'm going to do the show if you want. But let me tell you, since you're the one who's bringing this, I expect you to send me a DM on Discord within the next 7 days and lay out all of the links that you have that demonstrate something. I'm not even asking a criteria for demonstrating what. Just demonstrate something to me. What is it with the Electric Universe guys? They are fascinated about the effect of electricity in the universe, but is there a positive star out there? Is there a negative star out there? Is there a moon that is rotating around a swirl of electromagnetic waves? I've never heard of this. I don't think there are, in fact. Show me one. I want to see something. I want to see one of your objects make sense of the world better than if I ignore electricity. That's simple. It's all I'm asking for. I expect you to send me a DM if you want me to make a show about it. Because when I do my own research on the Electric Universe crap, all I see is a bunch of websites that are bragging, and they don't have anything. They're just like, oh yeah, they're calling out their scientific revolution before it even happened. Alimer says, the rest of us will be rotting away in our paltry graves and coffin whilst JF is sitting pretty in his tomb. Exactly, sitting with an exemplary of the revolutionary phenotype. So let's see this girl, what this girl has to say. Homegirl reverted back to factory settings in the presence of masculinity. 6 years of woman and gender studies down the drain. This is the example of an extremely annoying woman. You can already see the red flags. Ring in the nose. Short hair. Masculine generating impression with a collared shirt. Cats. I mean, how much red flags can you get in a single screenshot? Cats. In fact, she seems like she has a whole atlas of various cats, maybe here, or maybe it's other animals. And you can see the general quirkiness of her looks has been worked into a genderless display. This girl passes as queer, basically. You know how the trans people, they like to pass as male, pass as female. This girl is just at the border of queerness enough that she can display her ally status to any LGBT people who crosses her on the street. They know that they will be welcomed because she has this kind of cartoonish, forced, some features feminine, some features masculine, kind of modern look that is the most disgusting thing that human civilization ever came with.
Guys, I went on a date this week and I felt the feminism leaving my body. I live on the east side of LA.
Okay, good news, but I don't think it happened. I think the feminism leaving her body, let's see.
You don't know what that means. It's sort of like the artsy.
Okay, people are saying that this look is called the lesbian LARP. I get it. I think that's a perfect label for this. It's the lesbian LARP. And she's LARPing so much that just one guy kicked the feminism out of her.
LA, and if you don't know what that means, it's sort of like the artsier part of LA, you know? It's people say it's like Brooklyn.
This whole caring about the city and its description. Look at her eyes. I mean, her eyes is popping out of her eyeball because she's so fascinated about the city, LA. Like, if you don't know, let me tell you, because I know. So knowing better is a sign for a woman, is a sign of very dangerous cognitive tendencies. She knows better about the hipster world than you. She's more connected. And holy shit, you have to listen to her whole explanation of it. She's going to woman-splain it to you.
In New York. Like, so I go on dates with a lot of men and women who, you know, live...
Oh my God, she drops... Another red flag. She drops the ally status, lesbian LARPing. It's not just in her looks. She's also lesbian LARPing in her bisexualism. So I date a lot of, you know, girls and girls and boys. I'm careless. I'm falling in love with anything I cross. She is a bisexual.
Over here, there's always a negotiation about who pays, and that's great. I like to pay for people, all that. But
oh, and now she challenges the gender norms. She likes to pay. Notice here the bracelet, which is a allergy bracelet. Maybe it's a LARP of an allergy bracelet, but it's an explicitly non-feminine bracelet. It basically means I'm willing to get fucked in the ass or in any mode with anything. I guess it's the symbol of general whoring for any sexual form, pansexualism, all of it. People are saying she's hot. She has genetic potential to be hot, but she's trying very hard not to be hot. She's trying very hard and, you know, she would have the basis. She has the body basis and form that with proper memes, with proper education, she could be a 9 out of 10, maybe 10 out of 10 in certain circumstances. But she makes herself intentionally a 5 out of 10. Because she likes it. She likes burning money like the Joker. You know how the Joker burns this pile of money and he says this city deserves a better criminal class? She does the same with beauty. She is ruining her own beauty just to show that she doesn't give a shit. Just to show that all these people out there who have a plan, she doesn't have a plan. She's the Joker of the dating world. She's willing to let herself be swayed in any direction by the environment.
But what I will say is that I sort of fell into going on a date with the most guy's guy I've ever been on a date with. And
so basically, you have taken all these extreme facial expressions and this whole narrative storytelling, like you're telling me an exceptional story, but your story is that you have gone out with regular guys who haven't been cucked by modern civilization. Any other normal woman would tell this story as follows. Hey, I've dated a guy yesterday. But this girl is so narcissistic. She wants to demonstrate her difference so hard that she feels the need to highlight how normal that was. You know, I went with such a normal guy. Oh my God, and I'm so special. I went with someone who actually fits the gender norm. Oh my God. And I kind of totally went into it. And I kind of, okay, yeah, well, that is what every fucking woman has experienced in the line of woman for the last 7 million years since we were chimpanzees. Bravo, you did it again.
He's from West, you know, Santa Monica. He's a bro, right? A guy's guy is usually not my type.
And somehow she locates. There's a bro center in LA. It's West of Santa Monica. Where the real men emerge. It's where they are forged. You know, it's like the Eye of Sauron in Lord of the Ring. It's just a pit of fire. And the man exits like an orc from the sorcerer's gigantic orc farming uterus. And it's like, Santa Monica! And then he kills a random other orc. Oh my God. It's like Lord of the Ring. It's happening west of Santa Monica. If you're ever looking for a real man, Stephen Robinson says, west of Dante, Oneida is literally the ocean.
Type, like, I cannot remember the last time that I went on a date with like a straight bros, bro, you know?
Okay, so she's been dating all these LGBT activists at the border of female, non-female, agender, neutral gender.
What I'm saying, but it befell me. It befell me in an organic fashion. So I'm on this date with this guy.
An organic fashion. So basically your biology made you fall in love with a regular guy.
And the thing about a guy's guy is he's putting his card down. He's paying for everything. And I really just, it sort of activated something feral in me. I'm not going to lie. We went to like another.
Oh, well, okay. So, I mean, you're not even in love. You are just learning to exploit parasitically your looks to surf into a wave of men who will allow your life while you are undecided about producing babies for them. You just came to the realization that every single prostitute comes to once in her life, which is that, hey, since there is so much male display in the early relationship, I could live off of male displays, males kind of developing hope around me, falling in love with me. And the period before they understand that I won't have their baby is so long that I can exploit all of it to survive. This can be my living. Yes, that is what every prostitute eventually understands. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, why do lesbians use dildos and not pocket pussies? See, Cloud Warmer, I think you just debunked lesbianism as a whole with facts and logic. Self-contradiction. the strap-on dildos and all this are a proof that lesbianism does not exist in a pure form. It is all a LARP.
Another bar, and he was going to go to the bathroom, so I was getting prepared to pay for our drinks because he's been paying all night. Of course I'm going to pay for the next round. But as he's going to leave for the bathroom, he turns to me and he hands me his credit card, and
boom. First, it's because women don't make much money. Women are not fit to the market. Women are not very competitive. And ultimately, because you will be the bearer of children, he's displaying to you, look, I can afford your lifestyle. I can make it not so painful to you economically because I can be there as your provider and supporter. That is why he gave you the card. That is why you're excited at the card. Now get down and make babies, because all of this is meaningless if you don't make babies.
And he goes, here's my card. Get us whatever.
And so she has this whole, ha 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 ha. I know that between the between us as LGBT activists, I know that this all seems very ridiculous, but I want to acknowledge also that, and you cannot deny my feelings, right? And I'm telling you that I had feelings that were contrary to everything that we've been talking about here between ourselves as LGBT activists. It's like, yeah, we get it, lady. You are so weird. Oh my God, these emo kids always wanting to be the odd one out. You don't know what odd is, lady. You want to know what odd is? Look at Papa JF right here. I own you in the domain of punkery. I own you in the domain of oddness. I own you in the domain of self-contradiction. You are nothing. You are an amateur at what you're doing. You just found a self-contradiction between a culture of LGBT activism that has been basically existing for 10 years versus a deeply rooted biological feeling inside of you that has existed for 7 million years, that has allowed your ancestors to survive. And there you are. Ha, 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 ha. I have a contradiction inside of me. Yeah, you're a woman.
It might be time for me to get away from all these, you know, liberal snowflakes on the east side.
Oh, and now she fakes the... She now feels like a fascist. She has joined the fascist because she has gotten her meal paid by an alpha male. Okay, well, not super interesting, this girl, which is why I've not reviewed this video when it started having, you know, a mimetic effect. I don't care about this video. It's a confused woman. But I wanted to introduce the video because Matt Walsh and Megyn Kelly are arguing over it. So let's talk about it. Matt Walsh says she's impressed that the guy paid, which is fine. Women are naturally attracted to providers. But if she likes this aspect of traditional masculinity, she has to accept the rest of it and will be willing to play her part and be traditionally feminine. That's where things usually break down for feminists. That is a correct analysis by Matt Walsh. I agree. And that's been a talking point in MRA circles for many years on the internet. It's this idea that if you only take your side of the bargain, if you're only there for the free dates, the free credit cards, the free shopping sprees, the free military defense, because in the end, you're living in a country that is getting militarily defended by the other sex. If you're only taking that side of the bargain and you're not giving back through baby making that is aligned with the services you consume, that is, baby making with all those providers that you profit from, then you are breaching a contract. You are breaching an evolutionary contract. And it's worth reminding these women, okay, you've just discovered the first step of an ongoing evolutionary contract. If you defect here, there is no consequence for you in current society. There could have been consequences for you in previous societies, but it's okay. We're not in a fascist dictatorship of the implementing this contract. We're not going to send the police at you for having taken the meal from a man from whom you haven't taken the sperm. But effectively, you are breaching that evolutionary contract. And we will make society in a way that whatever it is that you think you're draining from us is just a little thing that we're really willing to get rid of. That is how, in the evolution of male pickup artistry on the internet, at one point on the internet, all the male pickup artists started preaching that you should never spend like more than $3 on these women. As long as they're not with you, as long as they don't give you sex, it's you don't spend. You don't go, you don't bring them on anything special. In fact, you You make it a thing to remind them that you won't pay and that you're not going to get drained as long as there's no commitment on their side. So that's our evolutionary response to your constant breaching of this contract. But Megyn Kelly, the supposedly conservative, but what's left about Megyn Kelly that's conservative? She's been again and again counter-signaling the right, counter-signaling Trump, counter-signaling traditional beliefs about genders, counter-signaling pretty much everything about the right. So what is it? She's the expert centrist? Anyway, she answers to Matt Walsh, actually, no, she doesn't. She can find a man who pays and also gets completely hot for a working wife who doesn't cook or behave like any sort of traditional wife. Well, the problem is here. As I was explaining before, if you are practicing all of this tradition, which is an evolutionary tradition, and in fact, that's something I talk about in the moral signal. You have a system here where for the egg, the male is the displayer, it's the advertiser. The male is trying to advertise, I'm worth this egg. And the female is trying to select. There's always a selector and an advertiser in a market relationship. And for example, in most of the economy, it's the customer who is the selector, and the businesses are the advertiser. They're saying, take me, take me. And the male is saying, take me, when he's giving you your credit card. Take me as a candidate for that egg. Now, the problem is, if you are merely evolutionarily surfing into this thing that exists for its own evolutionary purpose, but you're not doing what's in line with that evolutionary purpose, which is testing the male for provider capability, then you're really just messing up that evolutionary relationship. And there are two outcomes possible. Either males completely stop providing, so eventually you're going to farm out this method of men drainage. The same way porn farms out of humanity those people who are merely attracted to the imagery, to the image, the deceptive illusion of sex. If you are allowing females to consume male providership without paying back for it, male providership means nothing anymore evolutionarily. And it's really... You are starting to select the males who will defend against this drainage. So Megyn Kelly, the problem is when you abandon the evolutionary function of a signal, it disappears. Porn eventually, the ultimate evolutionary outcome of porn is that at some point, men will not be excited anymore at seeing boobs and asses and penetration and whatever, because they're going to be desensitized, because it's not anymore the signal that gives you a sign that you're about to reproduce. Whereas for the last 7 million years, if you are seeing boobs, an ass, feet, a penis and a vagina, you were pretty close to getting a baby. You were pretty sure to get a baby. But now you're seeing all these things on a screen, and it's not meaning anything anymore to your genes. So you end up with overexploiting a signal and parasitizing it, results in its disappearance. You are exploiting an imitable signal. That's also what happens in nature. Birds start responding to a certain song, then some other species of bird succeeds at imitating that song. The other species switches to another song, and that's how you get parrots. That's how you get parrots. That is so important, because parrots are a class of evolutionary entities. They're not just the bird parrots. But the parrot is the entity that has learned to learn. It's the entity that has learned, okay, I'm not just getting food for doing beep or getting food for doing beep beep. I have to imitate whatever the peep peep, the current peep peep is. You see what I'm saying? The ultimate signal drainer is the parrot. It is such a signal drainer. It has imitated other birds, has evolved to imitate other birds. Eventually, we found that it can imitate human voices because it's such a general learner. But Megyn Kelly here is the parrot. She is trying to teach to women to exploit a signal that they don't respond to in the normal evolutionary way in which they should. And you have to be careful, Megyn Kelly, of being too much of a parrot here. You have to be careful because you're going to ruin things that are first the left hates, okay, traditional gender norms and things that people need to survive, because ultimately we are that way because it helped us survive. And if you want to be a conservative, I hope you would want to conserve the features of human sexual reproduction and not misdirect your crowd against it. Matt Walsh responds, why should the men play the traditionally masculine role of paying for the meals if the woman is not going to play the traditionally feminine role in return? So see here, that's the call out of the parrot. The parrot evolves. It evolves to exploit the birds because it notices that, hey, if I do this beep, beep, beep at the right timing and at the right time, I can obtain some behavior from them. I can obtain the right thing. Now you have women. Women are like the parrot, the junior parrot. They're learning to be parrots. And they're like, oh, so I can just put makeup on and be beautiful. And even if I'm an LGBT activist in my art, they will still think that I'm valuable and they will pay for my meal because they hope that this signal will be picked up by me and trigger my egg-giving behavior. Now, Matt Walsh is the evolutionary response to the parrot strategy. He says, no. If you start using these beep beep in the wrong moment, we're gonna stop singing altogether. So it's like the other birds of the jungle deciding there are too many parrots around right now. It's not even worth singing. We're just going to isolate ourselves. We're gonna stop singing. We're going to control our singing to be in very private spaces where we can make sure that there are no parrots around. This is a signaling war. This is the moral signal at play right here on Twitter in current society. Dilogovich says, 53 seconds long, Lear Bird, the best mimic.
And that's a car alarm.
Awesome. Yeah, so that is how intense the war for signals is, and there is massive war right now for signals. What are the LGBT activists telling us when they want to make the males less males and the females less females? When they want more of that flattening of the gender space, they are trying to deprive the top of their signaling needs, that they need to signal that they're at the top. An alpha male needs to be signaling his alpha malehood. And if there are moral polices of the left around, saying, no, we will punish and we will look at you weird if you drive a Corvette or if you show some manly behavior or even if you dare give your credit card for the woman to pay for the meal. Those are all signaling wars, and the left is leading a signaling war against the signs of sexual reproduction, really. They're doing so because the signs are needed to keep the structure of the world going in terms of successful reproduction and successful reproduction between successful people. Megyn Kelly says, it's not about role playing. It's about who you are and what attracts you. No, see, Megyn Kelly, here you are falling for the modern liberal meme of it's all about how you feel. You have for a long time already changed what people feel. You have trained people into acting against nature for a long time. You have brainwashed people. You are actively inseminating kids with these ideas. You are introducing these ideas in their heads so that when they arrive into adulthood, they are self-monitoring. They're like, oh, I wouldn't want to be too masculine here. Let me adopt a typically feminine behavior here to rebalance things. And that is, it's a crazy thing that you've introduced into people's mind. I'm talking about the teachers and the leftists here. You have given them loops of self-monitoring of, I need to not be too feminine. I need not to wear too much pink. Oh, here, let me wear this kind of manly shirt so that I look a little more gender neutral. You are in the space of denial of what people truly feel and where people truly converge when they are let to converge toward their own choice. The message that in order to get a man who wants to take care of you, you have to be a trad wife is not true. Well, you don't have to necessarily be a trad wife by all definitions, but you have to give something back. That is the important point. You have to give something back for these displays of providerhood. And I think that a fair demand to woman is to ask for either of these two things: reproductive activity or a quick dismissal. The least you could do if you are not interested in the man is to either, well, if you are not interested in the man, is to tell him very quick and stop draining his wealth. If you are interested in the man, is to make babies very quick, because Every moment lost on the dating moment is evolutionary fitness that you are losing and that your future children are losing, both the man and the woman. Some guys want the fire and excitement of a working wife. Trust me, we bring plenty to the table that would be very appealing to many, not all, men. And lots of those men would still want to take care of us, protect us, and marry us. It's awesome. Yeah, I don't think Matt Walsh here said we can't have working woman ever. I think that he's trying to make a point that you are in debt when you consume this provider display from males, and that you should feel that you are in debt. As long as that debt is reimbursed in some consideration, in some form, I think it is fine. Matt Walsh here reminds her that she is committing a straw man. I never said anything about trad wife. I don't even know what that means anymore. What I'm saying is that the argument for men paying for the date is grounded entirely in traditional gender roles. It is not consistent, not fair, and not honest for a woman to embrace that one single aspect of gender roles while rejecting the rest in principle. Exactly. Contracts have bilateral obligations. If you take just one side, you are committing fraud. What do we have? Silver Spider sent $5. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, hey, Jeff, if the average right-winger learned more about evolution than religion, would they have a better defense against the leftist takeover of society? That's an interesting question. I am not into evolutionist militantism. I'm not into trying to force evolution onto everyone, because I just know that evolution is, although a simple theory, it's not every brain can access it. Not every brain is capable of seeing the world, seeing the power of the explanation, and that's fine. But I do believe that what you say is right there, that if they were to, I think that evolution in principle offers a better defense than religion against degeneracy. I believe that it offers a better defense against the attacks on family. Because in religion, all you really have is, oh, well, we're saying that there's a God and this God told us this, and so it's this. And what you are doing right now is in opposition to it, so it's bad. Now, that has some value, and I believe that it has some demonstrated working power through history. Religion has been working. It's been working well. But I believe that intellectually and in truth, evolution offers a better framework to resist to any and all novel forms of degeneracy. I believe that as the leftist project becomes more and more evil and more complex and more different from what's described, say, in the Bible, evolution is giving you a philosophy that explains exactly what's happening here. What's happening between parrots and other birds in terms of imitation of signals, in terms of interference with signals. That's why I believe The Moral Signal ultimately is a needed book. And I do need to go back to the writing of it. I've been having too much on my shoulders lately, but I'd love to go back to the writing of it. I think it's going to be an important book because it's all about parroting, interfering, lying, keeping others from saying things, keeping others from displaying things, people needing to display something. Like the alpha male needs to display his alpha maleness, and the leftists are throwing arrows at it. They are throwing arrows at him and keeping him from doing it. And that's a war. That's an evolutionary war going on. You can understand it as something about God. You can say, oh, well, some people are following what God says and some other people are revolting against it. But you have so much more power in the evolutionary explanation, because ultimately the evolutionary explanation doesn't just tell you what is happening. It tells you why it's happening and when you should expect it to stop, who you should expect to win, because signaling wars, they always end up the same. Signals disappear when they become useless evolutionarily. That is the general rule of basically any phenotypic effect. It disappears when it doesn't serve its purpose. So as long as there's a purpose, as long as men need that signal from women that they are in a certain way, and women need that signal from a man that they are a certain way, that should survive. It should survive any leftist attack. And as such, it is almost more powerful than religion. Because here's something that religion may or may not be able to do, but that evolution will certainly ensure. In 5,000 years from now, there is still human species dimorphism, sexual dimorphism. That's a certainty. It's a certainty of evolution. Because no matter how you try culturally to fight against it, no matter how much you condition people like the leftists are currently doing at abolishing their gender features intentionally, These people are punishing themselves evolutionarily, while the others are raking in the profits. Megyn Kelly, and I noticed that Megyn Kelly has short hair. You know, she's, you know how she did that that switch at some point in her career, and she began having short hair. So I think that it's coming from somewhere here. I think that this disagreement with Matt Walsh ultimately boils down to Megyn Kelly is sympathetic to the short hair lesbian because she's a short hair displayer of her own. She, when you think about it, Megyn Kelly is the original lesbian LARPer. Your premise that she has to be willing to play her part and be traditionally feminine. Okay, this one I read, and she talks about some men just like to help and they don't feel aggrieved or unfairly taken advantage of at all. Again, Megan, it's not about how they feel. It's about the true state of things, of the contracts that are honored and contracts that are violated, of the evolutionary signals that are violated or not violated. Whether the man feels exploited doesn't matter. Because he may be deceived by his own genes to be this ever-giving provider. That may be what his genes are telling him to do. And he may not have the genes that tell him, oh yeah, be careful with these exploiters. But still, you are an exploiter whether he feels exploited or not. That's the point. Michael Knowles was saying, my political ideology is whatever bans this and ostracizes whoever made it. And I said, wait till Knowles learns who makes those.
Thing that we know about you, you love to get up and dance.
How about you break out those moves?
For your two biggest fans. If you're not sure what to choose, think about all the things you like to do. Just be you.
Just be me?
Yep.
When you're trying to decide, think about all the things you like to do. Just be you.
Just be me.
Thing that we know about you. You love to get up and dance.
Oh my God. They are training a whole generation to be narcissist of self-introspection and it's all about me. Also, I have to generate those feelings to be satisfying my two homosexual dads. Okay, well, here's a feeling. I want to jump with a dress. And they get more attention from the gay dads. And now they are put down a rewarding path for destroying their gender expression and adopting one that is contrary to their natural one. It's so sad because the real being you parent is the libertarian parent who lets their children converge toward their natural selves. And their natural selves is not to dance as a boy with a dress. You're going to see a boy wanting to dance in a dress. You're going to see one in a million, maybe, if you truly let them free. But now we're seeing more than one in a million because, yes, there's one in a million people who actually will converge toward true gender dysphoria. But now we have people converging toward gender dysphoria that has been trained through, yes, Stephen Robinson, Pavlovian conditioning. So this kid has no choice. I mean, if he's just being him, if he's just being a boy, his gay dads aren't not noticing. He has to do something spectacular. And there you go. You just trained fabulousness and eccentricity into a man that doesn't need it. You just raised a drag queen, a future drag queen. Daryl says, hey, Jeff, how IIQ do children have to have to be to understand this as propaganda. I think that there will be a bottom of the population that will readily interpret this as propaganda if they are given the right mimetic tools. Like, if they are constantly rewarded through Pavlovian conditioning to, oh, this is so beautiful. And you know what's happening? Because this is a Netflix thing, okay? You know what's happening currently in leftist families? You have these gender-neutral parents who are all into the liberal mindset, and they're going to reward their child for commenting on that Netflix video. And what they will reward is behaviors such as, oh, mom, isn't it beautiful that they're letting this young boy do whatever he wants and be whatever he wants to be? And then you have the liberal parents who are pushing into this and say, oh, yes, I'm happy that you've noticed that. See, by letting this young boy be whatever he wants, things are better and he's having fun. Don't you see he's having fun? Wouldn't you like you also to have fun? So tell me, what do you want to be? And the only answer that comes from these liberal child, from liberal parents, can be either to ignore this, or they will come with, oh, maybe I should put a dress also. So yes, it's how the propaganda seeps in. It's through, again, Pavlovian conditioning is nothing else than the recruiting of a signal. Pavlovian conditioning is, there was a signal between you and the universe. That signal pretty much went as follows. If it tastes sweet or if it's red, pick it. It's probably good for you. And if you've ever tasted sweet or a good source of protein or fat, come back to that place and do whatever it is that you were doing before, because that's pretty good for you. And the leftists are totally exploiting this signal. Again, it's a war of, I'm going to take a signal that existed for a reason, I'm going to redirect it for another reason. Cloud Warmer says, if all this stuff is natural, then why do we need so much propaganda to normalize it? Oh yeah, you need propaganda because if you let people converge naturally, you'll have the rate of gender dysphoria that you had in the 50s, which is maybe 1 in 1 million, maybe 1 in 100,000 max. And they need more gender dysphoric than this. They need a massive societal effect if they want to have an impact on the viability of nations. DK Shadow says, you're explaining crypto, JF, lol. Well, crypto is the reverse. Crypto is, I'm going to call bullshit on the existing signal and I'm going to establish a signaling system that's better. DWS says, Merry Christmas, JF. Oh yeah, while I was reviewing all this degenerate stuff, I almost forgot that it's Christmas. We're the 21st, so Christmas ambience is totally felt here. Not that I have a tree or an effigy of Santa Claus, but I'm feeling the Christmassy mood. It's very cold. I've used very little heating oil because of my heat pump. So I'm super happy this year. I'm not consuming much energy, just surviving. There's snow outside. It's beautiful. And yeah. End of the line, Joel says, happy holidays, as the business corporations say. Tech's DEI backlash is here. That's an interesting article at TechCrunch, where they are acknowledging that white people in tech, they're starting to be like, hey, you're kind of hiring retards instead of us. Should I go public with the story about the time I was told I can't be promoted for being a white man. Sean McGuire, a partner at Sequoia Capital, tweeted recently. There is a boiling white man anger just boiling as we saw all of these lesser candidates pass in front of us, as we see constantly our intelligent contributions to the world being dismissed, ignored, and people with no talent being picked instead of us. That is interesting. Eventually, I think it will regularize white identity. I think at some point, there's going to be so many careers destroyed and white people slowly being pushed away to non-standard jobs like contract employment. Like me, like you, I had a path in the academia. That path would have been unfair. I would have been constantly in that system where I have to... I have not only to produce good science, I have to compete with people who don't have to produce good science, who just trick the system into getting hired. So I took the path of, I think you're going to see more and more white people doing amazing things on the private market, on their own, as single owners of their business, on contract basis. And ultimately, the world will adjust in the sense that you're going to have these masses of employed crowds that can't do anything. They're not producing. And because they're all gender balanced and racial balanced, and you end up with a team that has been hired not even for its talent. And then you're going to have the independent coder working on his own account, working for his own enterprise, and just the business will move in that direction. And they're going to be the only one who can do something good. So they're going to be the only one with a job at the end. It's just you're going to have passed through decades of crappy DEI policies. John Drake says, that's the future, and the future is now. Exactly. Giuliani files for bankruptcy after the $148 million verdict. So because he had accused some woman and her a mother-daughter duo of Georgia, he had accused them of manipulating ballots in 2020. They gave him a judgment of $148 million for defamation. So he's filing for bankruptcy. He lists debts up to $500 million and assets up to $10 million. I think it's the right thing to do. When the leftists go after you, you just say, all right, you guys want a wrecked system? I'm going to wreck it. Now, he's going to erase $500 million worth of debts. So that will all be banks and people in the system that end up not being paid. So when you destroy people's life, you destroy a whole network of loans and credit systems, and ultimately you, the customer of banks and credit cards, you will end up paying more. Because it's all going to be passed to the consumer when this money doesn't get reimbursed. And so at some point, I think we have to encourage this attitude of, if you want to wreck right-wingers' lives, you can, but we're going to declare bankruptcy. You're going to end up with all sorts of our debts that you have to pay now through your contributions to your credit card interest rate and your loan interest rates. So make the system as fictitious as you want. You will end up paying the price of your attempts at interfering with others. Saturn Shine says, I'm not a right winger anymore. Well, what are you, Saturn Shine? We will finish with this last question because I'll be closing the show, but I'm curious to know, if you don't identify as a right winger, what do you identify? Did you go full Adolf Hitler? Did you She says, I'm just winging it. Okay. But not a leftist. Saturn Shines is, she is oscillating between the light and dark side of the force. We'll be right back.